Agencies should expect more coordinated and aggressive oversight of government programs now that Republicans have the majority in both houses of Congress. That's one of several changes federal employees and contractors should expect with the changes in the House and Senate. Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, joins me now with analysis of what the election means for government management issues. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so more aggressive oversight. Can it get any worse than it has been?
Well, in some ways, someone would argue it's only been a one-sided aggressiveness. You know, only the House has really been going after, if you will, or really looking deeply at the issues within government and government management more specifically. But I think now that the Republicans control both the House and the Senate, the experts I'm talking to are saying, you know, this is going to, you know, coordinate, and they're going to really look at specific issues and maybe be even better. Seth Harris is the former Deputy Secretary of the Labor Department under President Barack Obama, is now counsel at Dentons.
If there are programs that the majority doesn't like, or that they think are not being run well, or that they think are wasting money or abusive, they are going to investigate them, not necessarily just through the oversight and investigations committees, but it could be that the authorizing committees now will get involved in a more active way. We didn't see that all that aggressively before this election, since 2010, but we definitely saw that in the 1990s, and I think we may be heading more back to something like a 1990s atmosphere.
Now, Harris says he actually doesn't even think the Senate will have a tempering effect on the House in terms of how aggressive they are or they will be, and even there could be some competition between the two chambers about who can, you know, be more aggressive when it comes to oversight. Interestingly, he said in the 1990s, when he was at the Labor Department under President Clinton, the agency received something like two letters a week asking about programs and actions they took and what's going on, wanting more information. And I think he's thinking that's when he says the 1990s atmosphere. So agencies should expect that kind of oversight. Now, Dave Marin is a principal with the Podesta Group and a former chief of staff for the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. He says the Republican majority likely will be focused on making presidents' last 2 years pretty difficult.
The other uncertainty after yesterday is one of tone. It's hard not to argue that the Oversight Committee devolved into a pretty bitterly partisan place over the last several years. Does that change with a new chairman? And on the Senate side, what will the Senate dynamic be with a likely chairman, Ron Johnson, who tends to view the world through the eyes of the business owner that he is? And I think that will dominate his agenda. The question will be, can he coordinate with whomever succeeds Chairman Issa in a way that makes the Republican oversight and investigation agenda more effective, more compelling, more persuasive, and less radioactive?
Now, obviously, the changes in the Senate are going to be a little more dramatic than the House, but at the same time, you are going to see both major government, you know, oversight reform committees with changes. In the Senate, obviously, the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, not only is Senator Tom Coburn retiring, he's the ranking member, it also means, as you heard Dave Marin say, Ron Johnson is the likely successor as chairman now. On the Democratic side, Senator Carl Levin is retiring, but also look who lost, Tom, Senator Mark Begich, Senator Mark Pryor. They both lost their reelection bids. So while they're on the committee, they're out.
Those are flip states.
And then Senator Mary Landrieu is in a runoff. So there's a potential that she could be out as well, meaning three or four top senior senators from that committee are gone. And that's, you know, really leaves, if you think about it, Tom Carper, John Tester, Claire McCaskill as the most senior holdovers on that committee. On the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, the House side, you have a competition going on between Congressman Jason Chaffetz and Congressman Michael Turner. Both are vying for the chairmanship. My sources tell me right now Turner may be a little bit in the lead, but I don't handicap these races, as you know, but we'll have to see where this all heads up. But either way, major changes on both sides of the government management committees.
My guest is Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. So how should agencies prepare for this kind of oversight, this onslaught that might be coming?
Yeah, start yesterday, right? There are several things that they can do to improve their relationship with with the new staff members and new chairman. I think you heard what one of my sources told me, right? Tevi Troy is a former deputy secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services under President George W. Bush, and he's now president of the American Health Policy Institute.
One thing I would tell people is watch their emails. I mean, obviously, Lois Lerner was not so careful in her emails, and the emails that were found were problematic, and the emails that weren't found also caused problems. So I think they should start talking to the lawyers, to the counsel's offices, about getting ready for investigations and being prepared for what that's going to entail in terms of document requests and email dumps and having people who are qualified and able to testify ably. It's not an easy thing to do.
Now, Troy says agencies need to actually be proactive in meeting and reaching out to the lawmakers and their staffs. He says over the last few years, there's been too little, even around nonpartisan issues or even bipartisan issues on government management, where there's that communication. Marin actually agrees with Troy's assessment. He says the changing tone of the communication will be important to build those relationships and actually could lead to agreements, or if not agreements, then at least a better understanding of the issues and challenges. And remember, most of the time, Tom, as we know, technology, acquisition, workforce, for the most part, financial management, these are not partisan, you know, deeply divided issues. But right. If you don't have that relationship, you can't have that conversation so each side knows where each side is coming from. Marin said he's heard that agency communication over the last few years, especially on the House side, really has been non-existent. Going back to Seth Harris, he says in the 90s and again in 2010, labor actually took some specific steps to prepare for what they thought the onslaught of requests and letters.
Really, more than anything, it was about information flow, because we wanted to make clear to the committees that were conducting the oversight that we were being responsive, that we had received their letters, and that we were going to do our very best to get them information in response to the inquiries. But at the same time, we had to have an information flow inside the Labor Department that assured that the response to oversight requests was not getting in the way of the Labor Department carrying out its core mission. So there's a lot of information in all of these agencies, and some of these requests can be remarkably expansive and can take up tremendous amounts of resources. And so we had to have a system in place where we knew who to go to, who was going to help with the search, how we were going to define the search for the information, and how we were going to make sure that information that we legally could not release, like information about ongoing investigations or PII, that information was not released without very, very careful review.
Now, Harris says when labor ramped up in 2010, the aggressive oversight actually didn't come as they were expecting. But he believes this time is going to be much different, as the same party obviously controls both chambers. And I think they're going to be out looking to, especially from the Senate perspective.
So, Jason, what are some of the other potential impacts on management itself, aside from the oversight?
I think the two other big ones are related around budget is the most obvious one. I think there's broad agreement that another government shutdown is not in the works. In fact, you heard Senator Mitch McConnell yesterday explicitly say we will not have another government shutdown, which is obviously good news for everybody else. J. David Cox is the president of the American Federation of Government Employees, or AFGE. He says the employees union's top priority is for Congress to finish a budget for fiscal 2015 as soon as possible.
Just because the leadership in Congress has changed doesn't mean the issues we care most about have changed. We're still going to be fighting to protect the living standard of hardworking government employees. We will be working to end sequestration, not just amend it. And I want to say that one time very clear, to end sequestration, not just amend it or rearrange it around. Regardless of who is in power, no one will be able to govern unless sequestration is repealed and federal programs and services are protected from these devastating cuts. And we will vigorously fight further measures that place disproportionate pain from budget policies and politics on the backs of government employees.
Now, Cox says he doesn't know if a shutdown will happen or not, but AFGE is going to keep a close eye on it, obviously, and they're also going to keep a close eye on, as you heard him say, what other further potential attacks or changes to federal pay and benefits. But the Podesta Group's Marin says federal employees will have to make their case about why they shouldn't have furloughs or benefit cuts or retirement changes or layoffs even to a broader set of lawmakers. Remember, there's such a great number of turnover. A lot of the federal employees, if you will, friends, Jim Moran, Frank Wolf, are out, and you have new people coming in. Now, these people are probably going to support them, but they don't know the federal employees as well as these other longtime people have. So,
like a Barbara Comstock.
Exactly.
Might be an able legislator. We don't know yet, but she's got a lot to learn.
Exactly. And she may be say, well, I support federal employees, but how much? And you got to create that relationship going back to the beginning. Now, another area federal employees should keep an eye on, according to Tevi Troy, is like in 2006, is the confirmation process.
The biggest change for me was in the difficulty of getting confirmed, and I fortunately was confirmed without too much difficulty, but I saw a lot of colleagues kind of fall beside me on the battlefield, as it were, and that many people who were nominated never got confirmed, and you could see that is a likely outcome of this Senate takeover, that a lot of people that President Obama is going to want in his last 2 years, it will be hard to get them through. That has a huge impact in that in the last 2 years, you often have people at the senior levels trying to leave the administration, and it'll be hard for the Obama administration to find replacements if they can't get them confirmed with the Senate.
Now, at the same time, Troy says there is some hope. There's a glimmer of hope out there. He says in 1994, the two parties actually worked together to get a lot of things done, such as welfare reform and a major budget deal. So even though there was this dislike and distrust, it doesn't mean you can't work together. So even though throughout all these things we're talking about, the challenges, what people should be looking out for, maybe there's a little bit of hope out there, too.
All right. Maybe they'll get something done, as the pundits are all saying. We sent them there to get something done, or as the president likes to put it, get stuff done.
Get stuff done.
Maybe stuff will get done.
We'll have to wait and see, and you know we'll be covering it.
Jason Miller is Federal News Radio Executive Editor. As always, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.